Hello, Vet Blast podcast listeners. Did you know that we are officially less than a month away from our next Fetch conference in Kansas City, Missouri? Join us August 23rd through the 25th for a weekend full of networking opportunities, lectures from key industry leaders, and three unique hands-on labs. On Friday, don't forget to join the DVM 360 team, faculty, fellow attendees at our Fetch Block Party at No Other Pub in Kansas City Power and Light District to enjoy music, beer, wine, and bar games. Admissions is included in your registration, but please RSVP by adding this to your registration. Our conference in the Jazz City is not one to miss, so register and secure your spot today using the link in today's show notes. Enjoy the episode!
Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
I'm really excited about this because I don't think we've really chatted about hospital design here on the Vet Blast podcast. And I can't think of anyone better than to chat with our wonderful friend, Heather Lewis here. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, Adam. How are you doing today?
Oh, well, so good, because I hope the audience, I'm sure many of you know Heather, but not everyone knows you. So it's great to share your perspective. Hospital design, super hot topic in veterinary medicine, as we know about our own mental health, patient care, and workflow efficiency. So a lot to chat about. So to the listeners, a little information about our friend Heather. She is a principal of Animal Arts Design Studios, and in her 24 years with the firm, 24 years. Congratulations, by the way.
I'm a lifer.
I mean, that definitely deserves a dramatic pause right there. Wow, that's fantastic. Heather has been instrumental in the programming and design of numerous projects ranging in size from 1,400 to 110,000 square feet across the nation and beyond. Heather has worked with hundreds of veterinary hospitals and animal sheltering organizations, helping them to create environments that support staff efficiency, promoting healing, reduce stress, and improve outcomes for the animals they care for. She assisted in writing the Fear-Free Facility Standards for Veterinary Hospitals, and Heather has spoken at dozens of conferences, including ours here at Fetch, and written numerous articles on animal care and design topics. So I'm curious to get your perspective about the history and your firm's background and how you ended up in it. I feel like it's a niche, you know, in the veterinary space. So tell the listeners about how you got there and a little bit about your firm's background.
Well, as everything, it became intentional, but it started accidental. I think we traded a pair of skis for a bathroom remodel in the early 80s for a veterinarian. And we enjoyed working with him so much. It was a complete wonderful relationship. And then he won a hospital design award. So it started with the very first hospital design, the relationship, and then the award. We found out that working with veterinarians is incredibly rewarding, and then we just fell into it more and more over the years. Our firm has specialized in this exclusively for decades now, and it's still incredibly rewarding. Hospital design is so much fun because veterinarians are such wonderful people, and they are such earnest business people, and we enjoy helping them create the spaces that, you know, change their lives and support their communities.
Yeah. I love it. I remember I was at a conference, I forget which one, but I remember I was at a bar chatting with a veterinarian, and he was drawing his dream on a napkin. And it was literally a hospital of his dream, of what he wanted to do. And I'm curious to get your perspective on that, because, you know, many of us out there have a dream, and it could be on a napkin, it could be in your phone, right? Just a couple of thoughts that wake you up in the middle of the night. And what I love about you and your firm is you take those ideas and you put it into a process. So what does that feel like for you to be a part of that dream and that building of somebody's dream?
It's incredibly wonderful, Adam. I feel like it's about like designing someone's house. It's that intimate. And often it does have a specific idea attached to it. And that's one of the things that I think is really neat about veterinary hospital design specifically. An example is, I remember decades ago, we designed a veterinary hospital for a working woman veterinarian who was she had teenagers at the time, and they came to her hospital a lot after school to do their work and hang out with their friends. So the entire hospital, if you could draw it on a napkin, was like this center space of the social area with the entire hospital designed around it so that she and other people who had kids could kind of keep an eye on their kids during the workday, and their kids could be part of their lives. And it was really neat. It was like a circle in the middle with a concentric circle around it. And that was the whole idea of the hospital design. So I think it's really neat to think about how each and every veterinarian practices differently and how that can be informed by one, you know, little dreamy idea that you might draw on a napkin.
Yeah, it's really awesome. And I know you've been in this business for quite some time. And one of the big questions, I'm sure, over time is everything costs so much. Everything costs so much. Where do I begin? And why does everything cost so much? And doesn't the cost of everything make hospital design projects that harder to do?
You're absolutely right. I mean, the last few years have been mind-blowing. I mean, even just going to the grocery store and buying your groceries every week, you're like, what? But and I'm not going to say that it isn't hard. It's actually really hard right now to get projects done. So I think knowing that going into it can help you refocus on how to make it most successful for yourself and your practice, you know, keeping it simpler, maybe keeping it smaller. But yes, it is harder to do things. I think having the right team on board can help you be successful in getting that thing done, you know, making sure you've got someone on your architecture side who knows about hospitals, but also a construction professional, and engaging one of those earlier on than we used to do can be really helpful because they can help you with some early pricing and we can decide if it's in budget or not in budget. So yeah, it's a lot harder to do projects, but I still think it's completely doable to do most veterinary projects with a different, more fine-tuned approach. And, you know, the days of the palatial lobbies and the owner's office that goes on forever with its own bathroom might be mostly in the past, but there's still so much that you can, you know, pencil out in terms of a hospital budget and get the project done with a little bit better focus.
Yeah, because I was talking to a veterinarian at Hospital Design last year, and she said there were two things that were, you know, kept her up at night: cost and time, meeting deadlines and, you know, being prepared to know that it's never going to happen. Permits happen, life happens, inclement weather, winter storms, you name it. And so like a piece of advice she was giving to that audience is like, just be prepared for the unexpected, because it's not going to go the way you want it, but you have to just be patient, right?
That's right. Actually, some of the hardest projects to do, Adam, are those that involve both a time crunch and a cost crunch, because then you're trying to make all of these really difficult decisions to get it in budget on a timeline. That can be pretty stressful. If a practice has a little bit more latitude about getting their project done, they can investigate a couple of ways to get it done and take some of that pressure off.
Yeah. And let's talk about creating joyful spaces. We talk a lot about this now. This is a newer topic that we're seeing emerge in veterinary medicine, is that, you know, I want to work in a place that gives me joy and I feel fulfilled and also good for my mental health. So what elements matter when designing joyful spaces?
This is my biggest passion project right now. I love this idea so much. So again, part of the reason why I love working with veterinarians is that they have so much more freedom. In some ways they are, you know, they still have so much entrepreneurial spirit, even though we have many more corporate groups and larger hospital groups than we used to. Those are all designed differently from each other, right? So you see a huge amount of individual personality in practice. And I love that so much. So when we talk about that napkin sketch and designing the dream, it is often completely different from practice to practice. So I'm really interested in the relationship between design and joy, joyful space and joyful work, meaningful work. I think we all feel really tired, in particular veterinarians, from the last few years and all the practice growth and how difficult it has been to attract and retain staff. So creating those joyful spaces and meaningful work is all about building this team that wants to invest and stay with you so that you can do the work that you care about so much. So I think there's a huge relationship there. And in terms of like things that we do, you know, it is starting with that idea, you know, that core idea of who you are, what are your core values, what do you believe in, and then building a hospital around that idea. But I do have more pragmatic tips about joy as well, because those matter. Like, for example, designing money-making space. It's hard to be joyful if you can't pay the bills.
Right. Yeah.
So there are some kind of pragmatic tips to that as well. But you know, you start with the idea, but I think the pragmatic tips make it work. If you want, I can, you know, we can explore a few of those.
Yeah, give me share a couple with us.
One example I think is really focusing on those money-making spaces so that, you know, the business plan works, which in itself brings a certain amount of joy. Veterinarians can be very stressed by stretching themselves to the absolute budget maximum. So an example is we have been trading a lot of lobby space for exam space these days, because I've never heard in my entire career a veterinarian say that they have too many exam rooms. Have you ever heard that?
Never.
So I think, you know, as I mentioned, palatial lobbies may not be a practical idea, but that doesn't mean you can't have a lovely, welcoming, and joyful lobby. But we're trading the square footage for exam room space because that's money-making space. Sitting around in a lobby is of resources, whereas being served and being in an exam room where you can process clients more quickly and patients more quickly can reduce fear and anxiety for the patients and help the whole experience and help the hospital be more profitable. We're also then looking at really focusing on money-making space behind the scenes. So an example is dental. There's a huge amount of new value in dental space in veterinary hospital design, and creating a money-making dental space, if that's appropriate for your practice, can be a really good way to look at those profit centers. So we kind of start with like, what is the best use of square footage in this really expensive market? And then what's the joyful idea that then connects that hospital with its own community or with your core values as a practice? So it's kind of a combination of left and right brain, I think, that's really guiding hospital design these days.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. Thank you for sharing those. And also, I think about as a veterinarian, I want to make sure my animals also have some sort of joy, you know. And I know that may sound cliche, but you really want to try to help minimize the amount of or decrease the amount of fear, anxiety, and stress that these animals can experience. And I know to your point, the number one place in which it happens tends to be in the reception area. So I know a lot of practices are mitigating that. So what are some other ideas that we could do to support animals, you know, as well in those designs of space that we're chatting about?
Yeah, well, I love thinking about designing healthy space for both people and animals. So, like for people, going back and looking at some really basic stuff like ergonomics and workflow and making sure people are, you know, moving in a healthy way is really great. And then for pets, the thing that I love and I love to explore, I think we're just right on the boundary of really knowing a lot more about this, is designing around the different physiology of how animals perceive space. I think it's incredibly inspiring to think about that. One simple example is non-slip flooring. So a dog walking on a floor is often slipping in a hospital. You see this with older dogs, especially, or dogs that have come out of surgery. And practices are often just struggling with how these pets are ambulating. So they might be throwing down yoga mats and having long paths to get the pets outside after surgery. And so this is, you know, and then you see the pets suffering, quite frankly. You see them struggling on the floor. You see them having to walk too far. So thinking about that experience for that individual dog and making sure they can stand up on the floor without slipping, that helps reduce their fear. And then that's so much easier for the people who are handling pets. And so I love thinking about all these little things with, you know, how dogs perceive lighting, how cats perceive lighting, how they perceive sound, what a cat needs in terms of its housing, how we keep an eye on these animals in these medical spaces without, you know, reducing our ability to monitor them, but also keeping them in lower stress spaces. I think there's so much to be learned in kind of brainstorming together about how to solve the simplest problems in veterinary medicine, you know, starting, for example, with flooring.
Right. I remember sitting in a lecture with Dr. Temple Grandin, and her and Dr. Marty Becker were talking about that one of the biggest fears that animals face in a veterinary house was the fear of falling, whether it be on an exam table or even, just to your point, on floors. And so we want to do what we can to help, you know, decrease that. So, and lighting, she was talking about everything, colors of the wall palette. It's very fascinating what they were talking about, but it makes so much sense. So, and I just, again, we were just talking about joy. I figured that that's got to also help bring joy to our patients as well. So that's awesome. And I know listeners out there like, oh, that's all fine and girly. I don't have the finances to do a complete rebuild, but what about a remodel? You know, what are your thoughts on that? Can we apply some of what we're chatting about to a remodel?
Absolutely we can. And that's one of the most wonderful things about hospital design is great ideas can apply on any scale and really any budget. So, you know, just thinking of in my brain of one client I had who really understood how to create a joyful exam experience with a cat. She redesigned her exam tables so they were kidney bean shaped. And with the kidney bean shape, she could stand kind of and sort of embrace the cat in a really natural way, as opposed to having a square shaped exam table. It was so brilliant. And I love working with veterinarians because they're the expert in what they do and in examining pets or treating pets. And then they can have ideas about how we improve things. And that kidney bean shaped exam table, you could put that in a remodel, you could put it in a tenant finish space, you could put it in a huge, you know, specialty hospital. So those ideas are so powerful and they're so easy to apply to pretty much any project and any budget. So I love the brainstorming process, you know, when veterinarians and designers get together and think about what can we do to improve this one problem? Another example is a scale and walking a dog on the scale. Can we recess the scale in the floor so that we don't have any more fiascos, you know, at the scale as the dog is walking on it? Yeah, we can do that. We can even do it in a remodel. You can cut out a piece of the slab and set that scale flush with the floor around it to kind of make that experience better. So yeah, it works on all scales. And I love that about it.
Yeah, there was a practice I just recently visited in Virginia, and they did for their cat rooms. It was very simple. I mean, anybody could do this. They took over the door cat trees so to do their physical exams. So they let them get comfortable, get situated, but it's multi-tiered, and you know the door can still close. And they do most of their physical exams, they say, on those cat trees, which is fantastic. And they even installed dimmer switches as well for the cat room, so that way it's not as bright, because my understanding too is, like, you know, we don't want it super bright for our cat patients. I just thought that was so simple to do, right?
So simple to do. Or just having a heated towel, you know, again, on any budget, like, can we heat up a towel and have that in the exam room for the cat to lie on? So I think it's a powerful message about creating spaces that better support people and better support animals. For people, I love the idea of natural light, and there may be some limitations on that, and that works for animals as well, but there may be limitations in a remodel in putting natural light in the building, obviously, but for new hospitals, do you remember the hospitals of like 1980s and 90s where it's like we hate windows and they were these tiny little, looked like they were like defending the fort, you know, like these tiny little gun slits in the back?
Yes. Let me tell you, the practice that I was in when I was all the way from a kid till where I was practicing for a long time, no windows except in the reception area, which was just, you know, the door. And I was like, what day is it? What time is it? You know, is it nighttime? Yeah. Nothing. And it really affects mental health on everyone. And it was tight. It was just, I felt agitated. Like, it just not good. Yeah. Natural lighting is great. Really is so simple.
Absolutely. And views. And I think about that, especially for things like surgery, where you're standing in one place for like 4 hours.
Yeah.
You know, if you have no idea what time of day it is, it can be really exhausting and really harmful to be in a space like that.
Yes.
So, you know, let's do as much as we can with natural light. We have so many options for that now, and it can be done really well so that it doesn't add a lot of heat gain to the building.
Yeah, I love it. So How does anyone get started with these projects? Are there any tips for getting past some of those initial roadblocks they may have?
I love chickens, so I have to use a chicken analogy here. I feel like getting started with anything is kind of a chicken and an egg. And I can't think of more of a chicken and egg than hospital design. So you know what you want, right? You drew it on the napkin. Like, you know what's in your head. Do you know how much you can afford? Maybe not. Do you know if everything on your wish list fits into a budget that you can finance? Maybe not. On the other hand, the architect can tell you about what the cost is, more or less, but they can't tell you all the things you need to make your practice work. And so in the very beginning, we find that this has to go back and forth like a seesaw a little bit until we right size both what we're trying to do and the budget that we have available to us. With a lot of practices that are starting out, it may be a matter of compromising on the type of space that you want to do. So for example, you might need to go into a tenant finish kind of situation instead of a freestanding building in your very first practice, and that's fine. The joy and the meaning is in the work, in my opinion. And I think a hospital design is really a backdrop. It's like a tool for you to do the work that matters to you, that you care about. And sometimes you have to start with, the smaller version of that and then work up to the hospital of your dreams over the course of a career. So I think there's a huge amount of back and forth, and I think it's fine to take stepping stones along the way.
Yes, I like that. Thank you for sharing that. Stepping stones, and maybe you'll throw a couple leapfrogs in there too.
Yeah, right. I'll use all the animal analogies.
I love it. Well, this has been fantastic. Where can we learn more about Animal Arts?
You can visit our website at animalarts.com. You can send us an email, info@animalarts.com. We love nerdy conversations. So if you want to email us and say, hey, what ceiling tiles should I use in my treatment space? We'd love to engage with you on that.
I love it. And to the listeners, there's no dream too massive, too small, whatever it is, reach out to Heather and the team at Animal Arts. They are absolutely fantastic. I mean, we've at DVM360 partnered with them for many years, and we are so happy to provide a platform and a space for these dreams to come to fruition when we see these entries from the hospital design competition. It's so awesome to see not one is the same, which is so cool. And, at the end of the day, great outcomes happen for their patients and care. But just to see what our colleagues can vision with the architects and engineers is truly remarkable. It really is. I know when I first met you, I was saying it's like watching HGTV for veterinarians. When the pandemic hit, we obviously were all remote. And so we did our conferences virtual, I was like many have, but when I was watching and sitting on your sessions, I was like, this is so cool. I remember having popcorn and listening to your lecture, because it was just so cool to see all these different designs that were out there around the world. So thank you for sharing that in the veterinary profession, all the great work that you and your team do.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you for listening, everyone. Don't forget this wonderful podcast to rate it, and we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast podcast. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.